This morning I want to continue with where I left off last Sunday in preparation for next year, going into a new season where God wants to take us. I think it's important that we also prepare ourselves for that and get everything in place. I don't know if you've ever gone on holiday before. If you traveled somewhere, before you can leave, you first need to pack. First need to make sure everything at home is in order. And that you have everything that you need for your holiday. You don't want to arrive in your camping site without your tent. Who's ever done that? I once went on a trip to Madagascar with some friends. And we were cycling for a month. So we had one tent. And because we were cycling, we divided up the different components of the tent amongst each other. So my wife got the tent poles and the pegs. My friend got the inner tent, and his friend got the outer tent, and I got my own tent because I thought if there were any trouble, I'm just going to leave them. So I had a poncho. I didn't have a tent, I had a poncho. But needless to say, when we got to Madagascar finally, and we got all our stuff off the planes, and we assembled all our bicycles, and we packed out everything, my friend came to me. He said, guys, did you perhaps see the inner tent? So he forgot the inner tent at home. So we had a fly sheet and a poncho for a month. So what we are doing is we are preparing and we're making sure that we have everything in place for this new season that we're going into next year. Last week we spoke about justification. Who of you were not here last Sunday? Anybody that was not here last Sunday? Okay, a couple of you. I'll do a quick recap. Thank you for not being there. I love doing recaps. It gives me a reason to do that. My wife says I mustn't make it too long, but I love doing recaps. Justification. Last week we spoke about justification. It literally means being blameless before God. How can we become blameless before God? And this is this concept of justification by what Christ has done for us. We are justified. And through faith in what He has done for us, we are justified before God. And this justification, this place, is a legal term of being blameless before God. We were all sinners, and we need to come into this presence of God. At some point, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, and we will face a holy God who is a consuming fire. And we all have need to be blameless before God when we stand before Him one day. And God has made a way for us to be blameless before Him. And that is through the death and the resurrection of His Son and our faith in that sacrifice. The moment we put our faith in what God has done for us, the moment we embrace what Christ has done it for us, we are justified. We are made blameless before God. This place of being justified before God is an awesome place. And I want you to think about this, being blameless before God. This is by grace. And this is so important to understand. We are blameless before God, not because of what we have done. We are blameless before God because of what Christ has done. And this is the liberating thing about the gospel. This is the good news about the gospel, is that you cannot earn righteousness. You cannot do it through your works. You can only receive it through faith in Christ. And that's why Jesus is the only way to the Father, because He's the only perfect sacrifice. This grace did not come cheap. It came at a cost. God is just. He couldn't just forgive and pardon us. No, He had to pay for our sins. So this grace came at a cost. It was His Son on the cross. So we are justified not because of what we can do. And I want you to close your eyes for a moment, because we cannot move on until you really understand this. And I want you to close your eyes for a moment. You are saved by grace. It is not your works, but it's His works. And I want this to sink into your heart. You are justified, declared blameless before God, not because of your works. It is because of His work. And now, how we enter into this is through faith. This is what the Word of God says. We are saved by grace through faith. It's something that God has done for us, but we access this through faith. And this is so important. This faith is not just believing. Because James says even the devils believe. Now this faith, if you study the Word of God, biblical saving faith is not just believing. No, it is a bending of the knee. It is a surrender to God as our Lord and Savior. Yes, He is our Savior, but He is also our Lord. And when we have faith, what we are doing is we are surrendering our lives. We're making an exchange. We come to Him with our sinfulness and we repent. We humble ourselves and say, God, I am not blameless. I am guilty, but I want to thank You, Father, for sending me Your Son to die for me so that I can be free. And Lord, today I bend my knee to You and I give You control of my life. I surrender my life. I give You my life. I make You the Lord of my life. And from this day on, I will follow You. Now that is saving grace. The moment you do that, you are justified before God. The moment you embrace not just the sacrifice, but who Christ is, the Son of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the moment you bend your knee and say, God, I follow You, immediately you're justified by the blood of the Lamb because you have accepted Jesus Christ. Not just His sacrifice. You must understand that. Yes, the sacrifice is the means by which we are legally justified, but it is through faith in Him that we are saved. It's a surrender of Him. This is what Galatians 2 verse 16 says. Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but faith in Jesus Christ. And even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. So the good news is we become blameless before God through faith. It's a legal term. And we must understand this also when we surrender our life to God. This grace did not come cheap. It came at a cost. And that's why Galatians or 1 Corinthians 6 says from verse 16, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This is saving faith. Saving faith is not an incorporation. It's not an association. It's not a contract with Jesus. It's a covenant. Same God, I'm going to give You my life. Because You gave Your life for me. And therefore I give You your mine. What is Yours is mine. What is mine is Yours. Those who accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, we stand in a new covenant. This new covenant is not under the law, but under grace through faith. But this faith is not just believing. No, it's a surrender. It's a complete giving of a life for another. It's a radical change. And the question is, who is in control? Who is in control? And this covenant that we make, this faith, is a covenant with Christ. It's a covenant with God. God says, if you understand the concept of the Old Testament covenant, it's a sacrifice that is made. And there is life and there's promises and there's even conditions to it. One of the conditions is faith. But in this process of healing and bending the knee and surrendering life, there is an exchange that takes place. Like in the covenants of old, it's an identity that change. It's the exchanging of robes. And this is the powerful thing that you must understand, and I spoke about it last weekend, is the fact that you exchange your sinfulness for His righteousness. This is the exchange. This is the powerful thing that happens. That's what 2 Corinthians 5 says, for He who made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God. What is this last place in Him? You know, some people preach the gospel and they leave out that part. This righteousness is in Him. It's not just in His sacrifice, it's in Him. This righteousness is in a relationship with Him. It speaks of intimacy. It speaks about relationship. We say it all the time. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship, and it's in Him. It's in this relationship that I have Him, that I wear this. It speaks of a relationship and intimacy. John 15 talks about it. The vine, if you abide in me, if you abide in me, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. This is a relationship, this faith. It's not just believing, it's knowing. It's understanding, it's living for, it's speaking to and hearing from. It is a relationship, it is a surrender where I say, God, I follow you. It's not works, this relationship. It's not works, it's love. It's love. And love is expressed in a particular way. This is the gospel. This is where sanctification comes in. Justification, I'm blameless before God, but sanctification is my response to God. My righteousness before Him is not based on works. It's based on a relationship and faith. And this relationship is expressed in a particular way. It is Christ in us. You must get this. It's Christ in us that manifests through us by the Holy Spirit. That's sanctification, becoming more like Jesus. The works that I do now, I do because He's in me. And He works through me. This is what happened. This is the change between the old covenant and the new covenant. We'll get to that. But because Christ is in me, because I've made an exchange, because I've embraced Him as King and I've invited Him into my life and He lives within me, it's He that lives through me by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is where sanctification comes in. Justification means we are declared blameless, righteous before God. Sanctification is a definite yet progressive work to become more like Jesus. Now that I've accepted Jesus, now that I've embraced Him into my life, I am being changed. And I become more and more Christ-likeness. This is sanctification. So if you want to know the difference between justification and sanctification, it's two different things. They're related to one another, but you can't have the one without the other. The one is you've been declared blameless. The other one is you now become like Christ through your life. It's Christ manifesting through us. Literally what it means, sanctification is now that I have accepted Jesus and I've become a new creation and I'm seated with Christ and I've become the righteousness of God and I'm seated with Him in heavenly places and all the blessings and all the promises are yes and amen. Now that I've given my life to God, I'm changed instantly. That's justification, that's salvation. Sanctification is now becoming who I am. Because I'm no longer a sinner, I'm now a saint. I'm no longer an enemy, but I'm now a friend, a child of God. I am now a child of God. And sanctification is becoming who I am. Because I used to be a sinner. And I sinned and I lived in sin because that is who I was. I was a sinner. But now I'm saved and I'm a child of God and now I become who I am. I become a child of God. That's why it's a definite yet progressive word. It is definite because only God can make one holy. Sanctification literally also means to make something holy. Now, we cannot make ourselves holy. Only God can do that. And we know through the Old Testament, the only way you could make something holy, you can sanctify them, declare them to belong to God, put apart for the service of God. You must get this about sanctification. In the Old Testament, if this was to be used in the temple for God, it had a specific use. It's no longer a water bottle for man. This is now a water bottle for God. It had to be sanctified. And had to be set apart. And the only way you could sanctify something is through the blood. Something needed to be sacrificed and sprinkled with it. Now you and me have been sanctified to follow God. You're no longer a water bottle for this world. You're now a water bottle for Jesus. And you've been sanctified. And the blood of Jesus has made you holy. Now you can become what the designer intended you to be. This process is called sanctification. It's called sanctification. But we have a role to play, so it is progressive. And what is this role? 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1 says, therefore, having these promises, That we have been saved, renewed, transformed, become a new creation. And our children in God, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness and the flesh, of flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. You see, there's a role we have to play here. This is where sanctification comes in. And how does this work? This process of becoming in this new relationship with Jesus. Now that I'm saved, and there's an exchange of identity. I've made an exchange. I've changed my sin for His righteousness. And He's taken that away from me. And I've put it on Christ, this change of identity. We become this new reality in Christ. This is something that happens spiritually that now starts to manifest through us. 2 Corinthians 3 says the following, but we all, I love this scripture, but we all, let's say that, but we all. Okay, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. As we behold in a mirror. This is who I am. I'm Andries. You know me. Well, some of you know me. I was born in PE. You know, some of you know my mother and father. You know me. But I gave my life to Jesus. The man in that mirror is no longer Andries. That man is someone new. And as we behold that someone new, who is now in Christ, I'm now in Christ. It's not, what does Paul say? It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. When I look in that mirror, it's no longer Andrew standing there, it's Jesus. Because He lives in me. He's transformed me. He's renewed me. He's made me new. I'm no longer in Adam. I'm now in Christ. And when I see myself in the mirror, I see Jesus. I don't see Andres anymore. It's Jesus that's in that mirror. And the more I see Jesus, the more I am being transformed into that image. From glory to glory, from little bit to little bit to little bit. And the more I see Jesus, the more I see who He is, the more I change to become like Him. So I become who I see. Who I am. You become who you are because you're now in Christ. You've become a new creation. Yeah, and the Amplified puts it beautifully. It says, we all with unveiled face, continually seeing as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into His image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. This is the good news. This is transformation. This is sanctification. Justification is, I've become someone new. Sanctification is, I'm becoming that someone new. Who is Jesus in me? You see, the law came to show us what was wrong with us. That's what the law came to do. The law came to show us what sin is and how sinful we are. Jesus came to show us what is right with us. The law, what is wrong, Jesus, what is right. Who you have become. I know according to the law I was a sinner and I have need of salvation and I cannot save myself. But now the Spirit sees who you have become. This is the new covenant. The law showed us that we were wrong, how helpless we are. It brought condemnation and death. That's what the law came to do. Here we read in 2 Corinthians 3, it says, but the ministry of death written on engraved stones, written and engraved on stone, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? If the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceed much more in glory. And then it continues further on in verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, as we behold Him in a mirror, we are being changed. We are being changed. The law showed me what was wrong with me. The Spirit is showing us what is right with us in Christ Jesus. It's in Him. This new covenant is in Christ. It shows us what is right with us, who we are in Him. It shows us, as we look in that mirror, that we have put on Christ. This is what it shows. You have put on Christ. This is who you've become. And so what do you see when you look in the mirror? When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Do you still see a sinner? Or do you see a saint? What do you see when you look in the mirror? Well, the Spirit will declare to you that you have become a new creation, that you are in Christ, that you have become the righteousness of God, that you are blameless before Him. And the more you see it, the more you realize it, the more you know this, the more you become like it. And that's the process of transformation, sanctification. We all, with unveiled face, continually seeing in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into this, into His image. And what does the Holy Spirit say when you are in Him, when you stand in the mirror? It says you are blameless. You have been justified. It says that you have become the righteousness of Christ. It says that you have been made holy by the blood of Jesus. It says that you have become the temple of God and the Holy Spirit lives within you. It says that you have become children of God. Not strangers, but children of God. It says that you have become co-heirs with Christ. It says you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. This is what the mirror says. And the more you see it, the more you understand it, the more you become like it. That is sanctification. The more I see Christ, the more I know Him, the more I love Him, the more I grow closer to Him, the more He changes me to become like Him. This is the process of change. It's in Him. It's not out there. It's in Him. If you want to change, know Jesus. If you want to change, know Jesus. Grow deeper into Him. Spend more time with Him. Spend more time in the Word. Just know Him. Not religiously, but this is who He is. It's a relationship. It's like, who of you have children? Who of you have noted your children do certain things that you do? That's what happens if you spend time with one another. We learn from one another. So too with God. The more you spend time with Him, you cannot but be changed. It's not just because you see Him and love you, but because His Spirit is now within you. And He changes you. He changes you. The general meaning of sanctification is simply this. It's a state of proper functioning. This is just a general term, the understanding of the word sanctification. It's actually when something is used for its purpose. This pen is sanctified when I write with it. When it becomes what it was intended to do. When it becomes what God purposed it to do. I am sanctified when I become what God purposed me to be. It's another aspect of sanctification. You become a new creation. You are now in Christ. You are my son. Small letter. You have become the righteousness of God. And when I start living what I'm destined to be, I'm sanctified. It's the process of becoming. In the theological sense, sanctification is this process of becoming more like Jesus. General sense is when you become what you were designed to do. A theological sense is when you become more like Jesus, which we were designed to do. That's sanctification. Got a slide here between the difference of sin and God. There's a big difference between sin and God. As a matter of fact, these two arrows, they move apart from one another. They're not just apart from one another. They're going in a different direction. And interestingly, when we were born, we were closer. That little line, perhaps, closer to God than where we grew to become. As sin grew in us, and our sinful nature grew stronger and stronger, we moved further and further away from God. But then at one point, we got saved. At one point, we realized we are in need of a Savior, and we knelt before God and we surrendered to Him and say, God, I give You my life because I'm a sinner and I know I'm going to hell and I don't deserve life and I cannot save myself. But I want to thank You that You gave Your Son at great cost for me so that I can be saved. And God, I give You my life. I give You my life. It's this point where I am justified. I'm declared blameless because I have accepted the gift. I've accepted it. And then something happens. There's a change in me, 180 degrees, and I start to move in a different direction. That different direction is called sanctification. You cannot continue the way you used to be. That's why Paul and John and the entire New Testament says, if you're saved, you cannot continue in sin. You cannot, because this is not who you are. You've been changed. You belong to God. He lives within you. How can you continue in sin? It doesn't mean you can never sin. It doesn't mean we don't have the ability to sin. It means you cannot continue in it because He has changed you. If indeed you are changed. Great debate between the Calvinists and the Arminians. Are we saved by God's sovereign grace? Or are we saved because we have a role to play in it? Well, you know what? The proof of the pudding in both arguments is the works. What is the fruit of the guy's life? Hey, the same debate concerning salvation. Can you lose your salvation or is it once saved, always saved? The same debate comes in. Well, the evidence is in the works, the fruit. If there's no fruit, it means they were never saved on the one hand. And on the other hand, if there's no fruit, you're losing it. But you cannot continue in it. Because when you look in the mirror, you're no longer a sinner. You're a saint. And the reason why, and this is so important, is because He changes you. He changes you. And therefore, if you do not change, you either don't have Him, or you've never surrendered to Him. Because if you did, He'll change you. It's not that we do not have the ability to sin, but now the Spirit of God lives in us. The sinful nature that used to drive me, that used to drive me to sin, that used to grow sin in me, that sinful nature, it's been crucified with Jesus. That's Romans 6. Old man was crucified with Him that the body of sin might be done away with, that you should no longer be slaves to sin. It's been crucified so that I can be free. Now when sin comes, it's no longer from the inside. The factory, the ability to produce sin within me has been crucified with Jesus. When sin comes, it doesn't mean I cannot sin, but sin now comes from the outside. It is temptation from the outside that is trying to get a foothold inside. But you don't have to sin anymore. Because Jesus did not just set you free from your guilt. He came to break the power of sin in you and me so that we can face sin and say, no. This is not who I am. When the temptation come not to pay your tax, you look into the mirror and you say, that is not who I am. When you get the traffic fine and the temptation is, I don't pay traffic fines, you look into the mirror and you say, no, that's not who I am. I'm a son of God and I submit to authority. Because God says so. That's what Jesus taught. So that's why, what would Jesus do? Well, pay your taxes and pay your fines. Because that's who Jesus is. Sin is looking for, it's looking for an open door in your lives, man. When there's a temptation to commit fraud, look into the mirror and see who you are. Know you're a saint. When temptation come to look on that porn site, well, that's not who you are. You're not a slave to pornography. You're a son of God. So say no. Don't listen to the devil. And so I can own. If you're angry and you wanna lash out, you wanna retaliate because your flesh wants vengeance, look into the mirror. He was like a sheep, silent, going to the slaughter. He said, turn the other cheek, give them double, walk twice. That's who Jesus is. That's who we are. So we choose. We choose to follow the Spirit of God and not the desires of the flesh. It still comes from the outside as a desire, as a temptation, but we no longer follow the flesh, do we? Because we were born again. Jesus said, whatever is born of flesh is flesh, but whatever is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Therefore, do not marvel if I tell you, you must be born again. You must be born again. Otherwise, you are still trapped here. But if you're born again, you're no longer trapped. Just look in the mirror. Just look in the mirror. You know, the flesh will manifest in a particular way. But the Spirit will manifest in a different way. You can clearly see the difference between the flesh and the Spirit. We know the difference if we are saved. What is the difference between the flesh and the Spirit? But you know what? We still have a choice. And this is our role. We still have a choice who we're going to listen to. Who we're going to follow. Yes, we've been made new. Yes, we've been set free. But now that you're free, you have a choice. That's Galatians 5 verse 17. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. Don't be fooled. Don't think when you're saved, there's no longer conflict between your fleshly desires and what the Spirit desires. No, that continues. The devil is still looking for a foothold. But you still have a choice now. So the two are contrary to one another, in conflict with one another, but you choose. So they are in conflict with one another, so you are not to do whatever you want. Yeah, in the flesh, we did whatever we wanted to do. Remember, whatever the desire of the flesh is, this is nice, I want it, I do it. But now you are born again. You have become the righteousness of God. You can't just do whatever you want. Because you've been declared holy. This is who you are. This is the part of our part in sanctification is obedience to the Holy Spirit. And you know what's the amazing thing is, as the flesh desires this and the Spirit desires that, and we choose, am I going to give in to this desire or am I going to into that desire? The moment I give in to this desire, the Holy Spirit changes me. It's the amazing thing. My role is so small, I just need to choose who I'm going to follow. But the moment you choose, He changes you to become more and more. The moment you see who He is as opposed to what the world says, you still are of the devil or the flesh, and you see who Jesus is and you choose to become this, He changes you more and more from one level of glory to the next. This is the process. But we still need to be obedient to God. When temptation comes, we still need to choose not to sin. You know what? The new covenant grace did not remove obedience. The new covenant did not remove obedience. We still need to obey God. The motivation has changed. Some people don't want to teach obedience anymore because they say it's legalistic. No, they don't know God. Sorry. God has not changed. We still need to choose who we're going to follow. He's still holy. He's still a consuming fire. But He has set us free. He's made us free and He's given us His Spirit so that we can be. Romans 6 verse 1 says, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. Exclamation. As a matter of fact, it's a shout. Certainly not. We cannot continue in sin because we've been changed. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? Romans 6:15. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Listen to this. Or do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. You still need to choose to obey. Either the Spirit or the flesh, they're in contrary to one another, they're in conflict with one another, but you choose to be obedient to God and He will change you to become more and more. Romans 8 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live according to the Spirit, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Who needs to put to death the deeds of the body? You need to do it. That's why Paul says, I have crucified the desires of the flesh. I have crucified it. When it comes to me, I nail it to the cross and say, no, I follow Jesus. As a matter of fact, when it comes, it says, I'm not a sinner. Who are you looking for? I'm in Jesus. This is who I am. I don't do that stuff anymore. Because I'm a saint now. This is the new covenant. It did not remove obedience. But it's not obedience to a ceremonial law. Under the law, we had all these regulations and all these ceremonies. But now, it was written on stone. We're no longer obedient to these ceremonies. But we are still obedient to the moral law of God. Because God did not change. The law is an expression of who God is. When He says, do not lie, do not steal, do not... This is who God is. This is who I am. We're still obedient to who God is. It's not a law written on stone anymore. It's a law written in my heart. It's in my heart. I want to do this because I am now a child of God. I've been born of Him. Whatever is born of flesh is flesh. We're born not of the will of man, but of the will of God. You know that? Not of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of God. I was born of God. I am now His seed. Is in me. He has written His law, not on stone for me to try and obey. He's written it in my heart. This is what I want to do because this is who my Father is. So I'm obedient, not because I have to, but because I want to. Not because I'm trying to know God, but because I know God. It changes everything. It changes everything. The motivation changes. If we can get the communion, I'm going to end with this. Ushers, if you can help us with communion, we're going to have communion this morning. It's not written on a stone. The question is, who are you? When you look into this mirror, who are you? Who is in the mirror? Because the more I see Jesus, the more I want to be like Him. I don't know about you, but the more I see Jesus, the more I spend time in His Word, the more I spend time reading and discovering, the more He speaks to me, the more I want to be like Jesus. And the more I spend time here, the more I see. And the more I see, the more I want to be. And the more the Holy Spirit speaks to me, the more I obey, the more He changes me. And the motivation has changed completely. It's not on stone anymore. It's in my heart. It's not something I'm trying to do. It's something I want to do. And the one, I was trying to earn my righteousness. Now, it's because I am righteous. It's a big difference. Here I'm trying to earn my righteousness through my works. Here I am righteous. And my works are fruit of that. And the one, I was driven by fear. If I do not meet these requirements, I will be judged. Now I'm blameless before God and I'm doing these things out of love. One is trying to change myself in my own strength. I'm trying to do this. The other one is I'm changing because of His strength in me. It's a big difference. The one works is produced from myself. The other, it is fruit as a result of a relationship with Him. This is the difference. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. That's John 15. It all comes down to in Him. That's John 15, the vine. If you abide in Him, and He abides in you, what will happen? You'll bear fruit. But the branch apart from Him cannot bear fruit. But when you abide in Him and His words abide in you, you become fruitful. And everybody will see. It's still the litmus test. I'll stop there. Abide in Him. But if you do not abide in Him, you're going to continue to struggle with sin. But when you abide in Him, and His words abide in you, you will bear fruit. Sanctification. Sanctification is a result of relationship. We can hand out the elements, thanks. Sanctification is a result of relationship. Because I have a relationship with Jesus, the man in the mirror is no longer a sinner. The man in the mirror is Jesus. I've put on Christ. Thank you. And the more I see this image of who Jesus is, the more I'm being changed into it. It's a process of relationship from one level of glory to the next. It doesn't matter where you are in this process. It doesn't matter if you're justified. It doesn't matter. You're already blameless. Now choose to follow Him. And the more you do, in obedience to the Holy Spirit, the more He will change you. The Holy Spirit will come to you and show you. He'll bring conviction in your life. When you want to go the wrong way, He will stop you. Choose to follow Him. Look in the mirror. Sanctification is not just the result of a relationship. It's not just the process of a relationship. Sanctification is the sign of a relationship. That's why Jesus says, but this you will know. You look at the fruit. You look at the fruit. I want to encourage you this morning. Now that you're justified, blameless before God. Now that you've become a new creation and you have put on Christ, you've made an exchange. Look into the mirror and follow that. Become who Jesus is. And He will change you. It's so amazing. It's so amazing. It's so simple, people. It is so simple. It's just a relationship. It's all it is. You spend time with Jesus. And Jesus shows Himself to you. And you want to become like Him. And He changes you to become like Him. It's not difficult. Yes, it's a process. Don't get too hard on yourself if it takes time. But make sure you follow Him. He's patient, He's humble, He's loving. He wants to change you. But don't be stubborn. Hey, the things that He will show you, it cuts sometimes to the heart, divides in us. It challenges our motives. But you know what? It always leads to love. Either loving God more or loving people more. That's the bottom line. That's what Jesus is going to change you into. Someone that loves God and loves people. All the laws are summarized in these two things. Loving God, loving people. Don't follow stuff written on stones. Follow what is written in your heart. The more you see Him, that's where it is. This is the key, people. It's in Him. We're going to have communion. And what are we going to do here? We're going to bow our knee again, all over. We're going to say, thank you, God, for saving me. I didn't deserve this. But God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving your life for me. God, I'm going to give you my life in return. I'm going to surrender to you. Give everything for you. Because you love me. Why not give your life to someone who's willing to give his for yours? And then that word says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I've got some. Thanks. Let us do that together. Did everybody receive a cup? Everybody some bread? No, there we need some. Just raise your hand if you need a cup or bread. This is what communion is. It's not just a remembrance. It's covenant. It's covenant. The powerful thing about this covenant, it's not just between me and God. It's something that binds us together, isn't it? We stand together. We remind each other and encourage one another. We're accountable to one another and we serve one another as we follow Jesus. Let us make a choice this morning to look more deeply into this mirror. No matter where you're at, no matter how mature you are in the Lord, we're not glorified yet. So we can all still grow. Why don't we make a decision this morning? For some people, you need to bow your knee. You must make a decision to follow Jesus. For others, make a decision to go deeper, to search Him more, to see Him more, and to follow Him more. Let us close our eyes. Father, I want to thank You this morning that You have given us again Your Word, and that Your Word is life. It's life. Yes, for some it's an offense, and for others it's foolishness. Sometimes hard to understand, and sometimes it's like a hammer, sometimes it's like a sword, and sometimes it's the fragrance of life. It's like a spring of water that satisfies our thirst. It's food that stills our hunger. Lord, this morning I pray that as we hear Your voices, that prophetic word was, let us listen to You. As You put before us life and death, You say, choose life. If you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to God, God is saying to you this morning, I put before you life and death. I put before you your sin, My Son's sacrifice. The punishment you deserve, or the punishment I placed on My Son. Choose life. Choose My Son. If that is you this morning and you need to respond while all the eyes are closed and you need to give your life to God, I just want you to raise your hand and say, God, I want to give my life to You. If that is you this morning, just raise your hand. Nobody's looking. Thank you for that hand. You can drop it again. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? Today, when you choose in your heart to surrender your life, to believe what God says about this Jesus and the sacrifice that He is for you, and you choose to embrace this, the sacrifice that was made for you, for those of you that raised your hand this morning, when you say, Jesus, I give You my life, forgive me for my sin, I thank You for setting me free in this instant of choosing to follow Him, you are justified. You are declared blameless. I'm going to tell you, your sin is taken away from you. Every sin. 1 John says that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, and we confess our sins to one another, He's faithful and just to forgive us of every sin, all sin. It's taken away. Jesus said, it is finished. God says, I remove it as far as the east is the west. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter what your guilt is. God has taken that sin and placed it on His Son. And you have made an exchange for His righteousness, and God has punished Him so that you can be free. You never ever need to struggle with guilt again, because God has dealt with it on the cross once and for all. And I want us all just to pray this prayer. I'm going to pray a simple prayer, and I want you to pray after me. It's a simple prayer. We're just going to say, God, thank You for saving my life. Don't pray yet. I'm going to explain to the people that they don't just say stuff that they don't know what they're going to say. But you're simply going to say, you're going to say, God, thank You for Your love. Thank You, God, for saving me through Your Son. I am a sinner, but I want to thank You, God, that You saved me and set me free because of Jesus. That's what we're going to pray. Is that okay? And I want you, every one of us, let's just sing it. Say it together. Sing it if you may. But Father God, I want to thank You for Your love. I am a sinner, yet You love me. You gave Your Son for me, so I can be free. Thank You for taking my sin and putting it on Jesus and punishing Him so that I can be free. Today I choose to embrace Jesus, to put on Christ, to take His righteousness for my sin. And I want to thank You for this. I'm going to follow You, Jesus, all the days of my life. You are now Lord of my life. I'm going to follow You to the end. In Jesus' name. Amen. Then for others of us, while your eyes are still closed, as we're going to partake of communion, I want you to make a commitment in your heart. as we partake of this, that Lord, I'm going to follow you deeper. I'm going to search for you more. I want to see you, God, and what I see, I'm going to follow, Lord. I'm going to listen to your spirit more. I'm going to say no to the flesh and yes to you, Lord. And I thank you that as you do, as I do, you will change me. You will change me to become more like you. So let us do that. In your own words, just make a commitment to Jesus to follow him more. Lord, we thank you this morning for this covenant. Thank you for this love. Thank you for this justification. This morning, Lord, we remember the cost of this great grace that we stand in today. We remember your Son. We remember you, Jesus. We remember you when they stripped you naked. And they whipped you until you couldn't be recognized. We remember, Lord, when they nailed you to a cross. And they ridiculed you and they spit in your face. Even though you had the command of the armies of heavens, you remained silent. You took it. You took it for us. You took it for me. Lord, we thank you for this body that was broken. This punishment that was taken on you. My punishment. We thank you for this as we eat together. Lord, we take this cup, this blood that was spilled for us, that washes us clean, Lord. It washes us clean. It justifies us. It justifies us. It makes us blameless before the Father so that we can be who you designed us to be. Children of God. Lord, as we drink this blood, Lord, we claim it in our lives. We thank you that we can come into your presence, Lord. We thank you that it is life. Lord, I pray that this life will grow in us, Lord. It will overflow in us, Lord. I pray that you will change us, each one of us, to become more and more like Jesus. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name as we drink together. God, you're a good God. You're an awesome God. Thank you for your spirit in us. Change us, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. May God bless you. May you be changed more and more from glory to glory.